How many people brought your Bibles? Let me see. Oh, glory to God. Hold your Bible up. I want to see them. I want to see your hand. I want to see your Bible. Wave them like this. I want the devil to see that. You slapping him in the face right now. I've learned something. We're not fighting. And let me tell you something about the devil. We ain't messing with no BC devil. We're messing with an AD devil. That means an already defeated devil. Completely already defeated, bless God, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and what he's going to do. And I tell you, until we live in bliss with him in that wonderful and gracious place that he's created for us called heaven. Jesus is going to do some wonderful things. If you got your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of St. John, chapter 12. The book of St. John, chapter 12, that's in the New Testament. Some of you people that don't read the Bible, that'll help you out. Praise God. Well, you'd be surprised how many people don't read the Bible. Never read the Bible, you know. Hallelujah. And just because you had a meeting doesn't mean everybody read the Bible. I've learned something about that. I've known some people went to churches for years and never read the Bible. I've said this in many places, you know. I mean, we're from New Orleans, Louisiana, years ago. Today, well, pray. I knew there were some wild people out there. Glory to God. That's that Tabasco sauce hitting them right there. That's what that is. When you see Tabasco and the Holy Ghost come together, it's fire. Holy Ghost and fire, praise the Lord. But as many people go to church, never read a Bible in their life. Never do. And this is really the blueprint of your life. Answer any question you need, take care of any problem that comes your way. It's a very present day book. It's not a historical book, even though it has history in it. It has your life in it. And it was wrote for you. Think about that. Wrote for you, wrote for me. Never realized that until I was 24 years old. Bless God. And I'm now 29. But come out, you lying devil. I said, come out. Praise God. Listen, I dyed my hair white tonight, so I'd look good. St. John chapter 12. I want to start reading with verse 17. Jesus is becoming very popular in his ministry. In other words, people are beginning to notice him. One thing I've learned to do in my life is listen to the Holy Spirit. I know the difference between my spirit and the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, and I know it. I mean, I don't have to try to figure it out. People have asked me for many, many years, how do you know the voice of God? But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and a stranger they'll not follow. So find out if you're a sheep. Rub your head. If there's horns on your head, there's a goat amongst us here. Just find out what you are. Really, it's pretty simple. Does the word of God excite you? Yeah. Or do you say, oh, you mean we got to read another verse? When you hear about church, you go, glory to God, another night to praise the Lord. Or do you say, oh, Jesus, why do we got to have a midweek service for you? Find out just how much of a sheep you are. Find out if you're that excited about God. You know, I've had people say, don't you ever have any trouble? I said, since I met you, you're the first trouble I've seen in a long time. Sure, in this world you got tribulation, but who cares? I just kept reading the rest of the verse. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. That didn't say be of good cheer for the trouble. It said be of good cheer because he overcame the world. He became a conqueror, and it made you more than a conqueror. I think about that. Gave you all that ability and power. All you have to do is live in it and walk in it. St. John 12, Jesus has become very popular, ministering to people, raising people from the dead, and he's got all the religious people, you know, in a hierarchy. They're all just disturbed over this man called Jesus. In verse 17, the Bible says, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. So in other words, they saw a dead man be raised. Now, let me just tell you something about obedience to God. You know, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he did. He didn't come fifth. He came fourth. Didn't he? He came fourth, didn't he? Now, he was dead, didn't he? Wasn't he dead? Yeah, he was dead. But he heard the voice of God. So if the dead can obey God, how come the living can't? I mean, if the dead can obey God, my God, you ought to be able to obey God. I mean, Lazarus came out wrapped up like a mummy. Can you imagine trying to get to the front of the hole? Jesus had those famous words, loose him and let him go. Most of us would have said, I ain't putting my hand on him. He's a mummy. So it dawned on me, if the dead can obey Jesus, why can't the living? So I decided, since I'm alive, I'll obey him just like the people that were dead. I had a man the other day, got in my face. He said, I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I don't believe in none of that stuff you preach or live. I said, well, there ain't no unbelievers after death. Now, when that boy dies, he's going to look up and go, uh-oh. Let me tell you, there's no unbelievers after death. There may be unbelievers before death, but there'll be no unbelievers after death. Now, these people bear record that Lazarus was raised. For this cause, the people also met him, for they that heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world has gone after him. See, the world don't want you recognizing who Jesus is. They want you recognizing religion. Now, I'm going to say this, and don't shut me off before I finish my statement here. I refuse to be called a Christian. I am not a Christian. I am a Christian. People that are Christians serve Chris. A Christian serves Christ. I learned that from Jerry. Now, Christian, inverted in Christ. I'm not in Chris. I'm in Christ. Christianity is that religion. Christianity is burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. Now that is a disciple of Jesus. So when people say, you know, I'm serious as I can be about that, because a lot of people say they're Christians and lost as a goose in the fog, don't even know Jesus. I had a man tell me, I'm a Christian. I said, yeah, you serve Chris. He said, oh, okay. Didn't know any difference. Chris is the religion. Christ is the person. I've said it many, many times. All I ever wanted in my life was a God that I could talk to. I wanted a God that I can talk to. I want to say, hello, Jesus. He said, hi, Jesse. He called himself so many different names. I prefer Jesus over all of them. Some of them are hard to pronounce. Jehovah Sid Canoe. That's kind of hard for a Cajun. I think of a canoe. Jehovah Sid Canoe. Sit in a canoe. I like Jesus better. Another one, El Shaddai. Definition, God that's more than enough. But God's beyond your human reasoning. If you get a greater depth of that word, it means breasty one. Breasty one? I mean, would you call yourself breasty one? I think I just call myself L. Little L and no L. Praise God. But, you know, what he says is, I'm everything you need. I'm life in that more abundantly. Jesus, this mystery and majesty of Jehovah within our reach that we can touch. Now, you know, it's amazing how the Holy Ghost moves. The title of my sermon tonight is Making Jesus Your Future. I'm not saved enough to be miserable. You people watching in the prison, let me tell you something. You're going to see something different tonight. It ain't going to be religion. It ain't going to be Christianity. It's going to be Christianity. Burden removing, yoke destroying. Now the Pharisees are mad because they're running after him. Why? Because Jesus is giving something they can touch. Giving them something they can touch. Not bondage, not religious chains, not all this stuff. Somebody that they could physically touch, talk to, see. Notice this. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, you know something. Jesus came to the Jew. Remember that. Remember the lady that wanted to talk to him? He said, oh, the dogs don't eat. I don't give meat to the dogs. Because all of a sudden, Jesus, a thing is about ready to happen in Jesus' ministry. That prophecy that angel said when he was born, that he was a Christ, a Messiah, an anointed one with an anointing that is given to all people. Go read it. It's in Luke 2. That he came for all people. Now, the Greeks were not supposed to receive that because he had come to the Jew. But the Greeks liked him because they saw what he did and they came to the feast. Verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, and underline this statement if you can see it in your Bible, we would see Jesus. Now, most of the time, Jesus wouldn't pay attention because he was fulfilling prophecy. But he begins to minister to these people, and they asked Philip. You see, and there's a reason for that. Notice what Philip did. Philip cometh and talketh to Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, hey Jesus, the Greeks have come to see you. Now, another portion or another type of people is now being introduced into Jesus' ministry, even before the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is preparing the world to come to him. And he said, if a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth by itself. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's verse 24 and 25. He begins to deal with his death, burial, and resurrection. Because these are the people that he came for as well as the Jew. They said we would see Jesus. Now I want to talk about that tonight, making Jesus our future. I made up my mind, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is all I need and all I ever want. You see, I'm a Jesus man. Oral Roberts told me that the other day. He said, you know, every time I watch you on television, you say Jesus a lot. And I like the way you say it, because when you say Jesus, I see all your teeth. Well, Jesus makes me smile. I can't live without Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I had a man say, Brother Jesse, do you have problems with sin? No. Why? Because sin would separate me from Jesus. So anything that separates me from Jesus, I'll have nothing to do with. Why? Because Jesus is my future. Jesus is my present. See? So anything that would separate me from this holy one called Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, I will not have anything to do with. Why? Because Jesus is my present and Jesus is my future. What I'm saying is there's no future without Jesus. I didn't have a future without Jesus. Before I was saved, I was lost, bad. I was a drug addict. I was a drunk. I was a bad person. That's all I'm going. I can't define the bad stuff because it's too bad. But when Jesus came into my life, he didn't cover my sin with blood. That would be a paint job. No, he washed my sin away with his blood. He washed me in the blood. Rinsed me in the glory. Glory God. Spin dried me in the faith. And made me the man that I am today. So there's no future without Jesus. Now the Jesus I know is very, it's not like this. He doesn't walk around like this. The Jesus I know is boisterous. Jesus I know has got life. Don't have a bleeding heart, bless God. His back, the stripes on his back have been healed. The Jesus I know is exciting. So when I tell people about Jesus, I don't walk up and say, hello, would you like to meet Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? He can come into your life and you can be just like me. No, that's that Chris boy you talking about. But when I talk about Jesus, there's a fervency about him. There is an exuberance, a bubbling. Glory to God. I enjoy saying, I do these things in public. Don't mean to. I mean, something just hits me. If I see something pretty, I go, glory to God. Woo! And I shout a little bit. And it makes people nervous when you do those things. But I'm not embarrassed. People say, you don't ever get embarrassed, Brother Justin. Why should I? I wasn't embarrassed to live for the devil. I wasn't embarrassed to get drunk, fall down on the ground, bled, got smoked, dope, do all kinds. I didn't care. I was thrown in jail. Didn't make a lick of difference to me. But when Jesus came into my life, how come I have to become embarrassed? So when I pray over my food, I don't care who hears me. Sometimes I ask people to join in. There's sometimes I can tell they hadn't prayed over that food. You can tell. So sometimes I get ready to sit down around at a restaurant and people, I say, did y'all bless the food? People go, bow your head. They go, oh, you're going to put the head down there. We just going to bow our head. I just pray. It's not embarrassing. Most people quit chewing. They even got a mouth that they go, amen. They go, it's amazing how Jesus has shut your food off and you process right in the middle of your mouth. I tell them, you better pray over this. You don't know where they got it. It could be botulism in it. You see people go, you don't know. You better pray over that stuff. I want to deal with Jesus in this manner. They said we would see Jesus. Now they were interested in this person called Jesus. And what I want to talk about is in three different facets. We must live for Jesus, number one. We must speak for Jesus, number two. We ourselves must know him instead of just believe him. There are a lot of people believe in Jesus, but do you know Jesus? Now that's the difference. When you know Jesus, you make Jesus your future. In other words, Jesus is a light inside of you. So I want to deal with this. We must live for Jesus. Now, If you're living for Jesus, then your words and your life must live for Jesus. If you've got God in your life, then bless God, everyone in the world ought to see it. Some of you people in prison, you've been to church many, many times, but never met someone that knew Jesus. You met people that knew about Jesus, and that's why you're never drawn to the wonderfulness of who he is. But once you meet somebody that knows Jesus, that's pressed down, shaken together, and running over with the fullness of God, you are going to understand who this Jesus is. Why? Because their life is attractive. Their words are attractive. Why? They've made Jesus their future. Yes. And knowing Jesus is not just so I can get to heaven. That's just a blessing from it. Knowing Jesus is what? It's to know the Creator. Listen, that's as high as you can get when you're that high. So I realize words with which the life is inconsistent will lose all attractive power. There are a lot of people notice me when I go places. I don't know why they notice me. I don't think I'm that noticeable. But then I realize that there is a light of God in me. I'm not talking about my hair. People remember me because of my hair and my teeth for some reason or another. People want to know if my teeth are real. Yes. I had a woman one time stuck her hand in my mouth. She said, oh, those real? And grabbed my teeth. I should have bit the woman is what I should have done. But I was a Christian. She literally stuck her fingers in my mouth. Ain't no telling where her fingers been. Are those real? I wish they wasn't. I'd have pulled them out and said, no, what are you talking about that, Mama? Yeah, they're real. Well, how come they so white? I brush them. But not at a motorcycle rally. For 3 days, I just let them get yellow. No, no. I want to be a Harley rider. You see people falling out, it may be something else. No. Brush your teeth. Just brush them. That's it. That's God ain't too hard. Look at some people. We must live for Jesus. So I find out that Jesus keeps an account of my life. If I made Jesus my future, then bless God, I realize that my life is being recorded. Every jot and tittle, everything that I do is being recorded and will be played back. See. So I must live for him. I said I would. My word's my bond. Now there are a lot of people that come up to me the same way they came up to Jesus and say, we would see Jesus. What about this God? Is he really real? You know, you're so full of life. What is it? You're so funny. Well, bless God, when you've been delivered from bondage, it feels good. When you've been delivered from sickness, it feels good. When you've been delivered from poverty, it feels good. When you can go to any Harley Davidson place and buy any motorcycle you want, it feels good. You got what I'm saying here? Y'all caught that just then. They went, oh, yeah, that feels good. In other words, when there's nothing controlling you and you are controlling every facet of your life spiritually, physically, financially, you have made Jesus your future. Amen. You're controlling instead of being controlled by this wonderful person called the Anointed One is anointing Christ. See, if we must live for him, we must speak for him. What does that simply mean to you? The full river of God in your life cannot be dammed up. In other words, there are a lot of people that get God, and they're worried about wildfire. Well, bless God, I don't want to get into that wildfire. Man, you can handle wildfire. The problem is when it turns into friendly fire. When you're out to hurt people. I want everything God can give me. I've said it many times, I'll say it again. I get greedy when it comes to the things of God. I'm not talking about things of the earth, things of God. In other words, if God's talking, I want him talking to me. When God's moving, I want him moving my way. I want my life to be so fooled up, not to damn it up. I don't care if I make everybody mad as a hornet. I do make some people mad. Peter and them made some people mad, and they commanded him not to preach in this name. What did Peter say? We cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. We will not dam up this power. We will let this river flow until it overflows you and sets you free by God's power. That's making Jesus your future. You may go to jail to do that. Everybody talks, I got the power of God in my life until somebody put a 357 Magnum in your face. You ever had that happen when you're preaching? I was preaching on the streets of New Orleans, man. I was shucking the corn. I was saying, you need to get saved. This guy took this gun and cocked it. Bless God. He said, you say that in Jesus' name again, I'll kill you. my spirit rose up in me. And it wanted to say, pull the trigger. My body went, no, no, don't pull the trigger. Don't pull the trigger. My body was saying, you're going to die. You're going to die. I looked at that man, sweat running down the back of my legs. I bind you, devil. He went. And he dropped the gun. And when he dropped the gun, I went, good Lord, he dropped that gun. Trying to get away from the gun. That man today is a deacon in a full gospel church, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened? Made Jesus his future. But he had to come to me. We would see Jesus. I wanted him to say, talk to Jesus by yourself. That very same day, I bought a brand new van. They busted all the windows out of it. Talking about that Jesus, wham! Beating my van up. How'd you feel about it? I felt pretty good. Van didn't feel too good. What are you going to do about that? Buy another one. Next question. I was glad they were beating the van up instead of beating me up. We must speak for him. The full river of God in your life cannot be dammed up. Your life must be so crammed with the Holy Spirit. It should be like those nets of fish that Jesus had them catch. That the nets break. Is your life crammed so full of God that dope don't fit? Sin don't fit. Some foxy mama look at you and say, what's happening? You say, nothing. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You're so full of the Spirit of God that it slaps temptation down before temptation gets in front of your face. When it rises his ugly head up, wham, it gets hit in the head because you're so full that the devil can't find a spot in your body, in your mind, in your spirit where he could cause some kind of sin to take root. That's making Jesus your future. When a man drinks a fifth of whiskey a day, he like it. I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I liked it. That was just what I did during the day. That ain't counting what I did at night. I like booze. They say, is any of you didn't like? No, I liked it all. I liked it to burn me. Don't act like y'all don't know what this is about. Look at everybody. I like to take them hits of drugs and hold it, baby. Until you hear. Look at this man here. Oh, dear. Somebody lay hands on that brother. I know. Hold it. Get it down into the very bottom of that lung. Snort that cocaine. In other words, if you're going to do it right, do it right. If you're going to trip solo, go where no man has gone before. You know? This crowd understands this perfectly. I can tell that. Yeah. But when I got saved, I took that same tenacity that I used for the devil and made Jesus my future. And I got that Holy Ghost inside of me. Press down. So when I take in the Holy Ghost, it don't come out like this. It comes out like Kolomosha Kabalaba Kabalaba. Yes! That's making Jesus your future. Yes. See, that's full. That means you can't put nothing else in there. Well, if you live for him, you speak for him, we ourselves must know him. The days of fast food and scraps from the word are over. We went to church years ago. We got fast food. Got scraps. Sang three songs. 12-minute message. A benediction. Over. That's fast food. Went in the church. When I went to church, it lasted 30 minutes. We were Catholic people. 30 minutes. In nomine Patri et Filii, Spiritu Sancto. That meant, we out of here, Jack. Let's go. Oh. That's it, man. 29 minutes. Went to a Baptist church. They preached. They went a whole hour. An hour. I told my daddy, you know, if he was at that other church, we'd have done been twice. We wouldn't have to go next week. We done did it once here. Then we got down to them Holy Ghost people. My God. I didn't know what that was when you walked in and go, how you doing? How you doing? Glory to God. They got that jerk. How you? Glory. Then I go, hey, how you doing? What's happening? Hey. But we're so glad you came. Came. And they sing the same song over and over 12 times. I mean, I figured it out after the first time. They'd finish it and they go, oh, let's do it again. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Wow! This is the day that just started. Then some woman come out. And then she's black. Ooh. 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 And black preachers, hey! 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 God. I said, boy, they got something here. I want to know where they're buying their stuff. This is better than Colombian, boy. This ain't got to be some stuff here. But then it got real serious at the end. And they wanted me to partake of that. Ooh. You could see them. They were waiting, especially if you went in the church with long hair. See, now I spray my hair now. Watch it. Don't move. See? Did it move? It's like a helmet. Boy, I could just take it off. What are you laughing at, brother? You ain't got any. I don't understand that. That's cool. You like to have this thing? Look at that. I shook that light. It made it blink. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. They're making it. They said, would you like to partake? And I saw them people turn around. I said, oh, no, man. We out of here, Jack. No. Because I heard this. You come and get saved. It's the greatest thing in the world. Then the devil going to beat you, bust you, stomp you, kick your brains out. Rip your head off. But he that endureth to the end. I said, it's coming pretty quick here, the way you're talking about. Shall be saved. My lightning fast mind said, hey, brother, let's wait till the end. And right before you die, slide in, saved. And you don't get beat up as bad. See, we must sit down to the good, square, solid biblical meals cooked by our spiritual fathers. That's what I like about Brother and Sister Copeland. They cook solid meals. They don't give you fast food. Have you ever got out of their services fast? son. I've seen the lights go out. I've seen thunder and lightning come. Boom, boom, lights go out. You can't read your Bible. And Brother Copeland says, open up your Bible.
Well, this is a faith ministry. I can't see the thing, but bless God, we'll open it up.
I mean, I've been there. I've seen that. I knew people thought, boy, we're going to get out early tonight. No, no. There come John Copeland with a flashlight. Brother Copeland, John. Brother Copeland says, now the word says. I said to myself, wish I could use that flashlight. I can't see any of this word. But he cooked that solid biblical meal. He didn't give us a fast food. He didn't give us a scrap. Leftovers. No, no. This was Sunday dinner. This was Christmas dinner. This wasn't Christmas dinner. Christmas, burden removing, yoke destroying. So you live for Jesus, you speak for Jesus, you yourself must know him. So I decided to become what people call a word man. They say, are you word of faith? Well, what are you, word of doubt? Man, that's a asinine question. That's stupid. Does it take faith to be a Baptist? You better know it does. Does it take faith to be in a Pentecostal? Yeah. Does it take faith to be in the Catholic? Well, sure. Does it take faith, bless God, to be Episcopalian, a Presbyterian, a Church of God, a Word of Faith, a full gospel, Pentecostal Church of Holiness of whatever. You know, they got them names about that long. I can't remember all the names. Sure, it takes faith to do. Well, my Lord, it all takes faith, ladies and gentlemen. Ain't nobody got a contract signed by God saying when you die, you're going. If you do, I'd like to see it. You accepted his word. When you accepted him, you made him your future. We would see Jesus. Now, you see, let me tell you something. When you accept Jesus, not only do you get this wonderful blessing, but also a responsibility is given to you. That means you got to live right. Sometimes you don't want to live right. Like what Sister Gloria said years ago to us. She said, you know, with your own television, you got to be nice all the time. That's true. Sometimes we're preachers, we're people just like you are. Sometimes we don't want to be nice. There's some people we don't want to hug. There's some people we want to slap. It's the truth. Now, you can do it when you're lifting your hand. Oh, excuse me. I was trying to praise God here, and I didn't mean to slap your nose when I did that. I apologize. Well, he know you're lying when you did that, but there's some people getting your face. I mean, you know, it's just it's aggravating. I mean, last year someone came up and said, how much money did you pay for that motorcycle? I said, just enough to get it. Now, I like these motorcycles. I like that one. Now, I believe if the rapture comes, that one's going for sure. That is a fine looking bike, isn't it? Now, some people say that's lust of the flesh. No, it ain't. No. Somebody created that thing. You ever seen anything that? That's a beautiful bike. I mean, someone had enough artistry about them to do that. I couldn't do that. So I can see that that can come out of a person's mind. Anointed by God to fix something. To be a blessing. It's like a prop tonight, but it's more than a prop. It's someone's creation. And creation ability comes from God Almighty. See. So I realize seeing Jesus, we would see Jesus, brings 10 things into your life. Number one, he brings rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now, that's the thing that people have criticized me about since the very beginning of my ministry, because I'm at ease. He said he'd give me rest, so I'm going to rest. Who do you think you are? A rested person. Well, bless God, we ain't. I had a preacher, if I named him, you would know him. He said, I didn't get saved like you. I said, well, did you? How did you get saved? Are you saved? Don't you ever have any trouble? Yes, I have trouble. But I have rest about it. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So Jesus gave me rest. So I rest. That means when a challenge comes my way, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, those things happen. I'm telling you, we're always receiving some type of challenge somewhere. But because we know God told us to do it, because we know God's integrity, because we know Jesus personally, we're at rest in anything he tells us to do. Because it's going to get done because it's work. It's his work. So we say, this is what we're going to do. How are you going to do it? That's not for me to know how. It's for me to do what he said to do. There are a lot of things I don't know how to do something. But if I can't, Kathy knows how. I guarantee you some of my motorcycle break. I don't bring it to the shop. I call Kathy. I say, fix that thing for me. Mama, well, she love it. She come out with that butter knife. Yeah, let me get to that thing. As long as he fix that bike, bless God. She'll tear your bike down with a butter knife. I tell you what, pieces everywhere. But you'll put it back together. Me, if I put it back together, I'll come up with some extra pieces. I just throw them away. I don't know why we don't need this. Throw that away. Turned out to be the carburetor. I didn't know it was that. I'm not mechanical. So Jesus gives me rest. See, seeing Jesus, when those Greeks saw him, they seen rest. What? Number two, not only did he give you rest, he gives you peace. Now, you know what peace is in my definition? Possession of adequate resource. That's why your kids don't think twice to ask you for anything in the store. They figure you can handle it. They at peace. They'll just tell you about it. Yeah, but man, you know how much that costs? They will just handle it. Peace is possession of adequate resource. If you got cash money, if you walk to the Harley Davidson place and say, I want to buy this thing, and you got cash, you got peace. You ain't going to say, well, how much you going to give it to me for? It don't make a lick of difference. So how much is it? $22,000. You want paper? Yeah. You want cash? You cash. Boom, boom, boom. They'll give you the bike, give you the thing, take off. See, that's peace. Possession of adequate resource. So when you have Jesus, you have peace. Not only do you have rest, you have peace. So you're resting in the Lord and you have the peace of God. That's what he said. He said, my peace I leave with you. He got personal and gave you his own personal peace. Not just the peace of God, the peace from God or the peace with God. He gave you his personal peace. That's why Jesus could walk on the water. Why? He knew he could do it. He saw the water. He said, I created that. Anything I can create, I can walk on. So he got out of something man made, a boat, and walked on something God made, water. See, how did he do it? Because he's Jesus? No, because he had rest in the Lord and he had peace. So Jesus is our rest. Jesus is our peace. Number three, Jesus is our quickening. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, quickens our mortal body. Now, I'm really beginning to believe that verse since my hair started getting white. I need quickening in my body. Don't look at me weird, so do you. I was brushing my teeth. I noticed something lately. I don't know what these things are, but they're developing. Look at them things. And when I do that, they shake a little bit. I don't know what it's called. And I'm getting one of these things. But I found, now I can even put it in my collar. Look, I'm just, see? I never had that before. When I married that woman's son, I was in shape. You ought to see me. I was so good looking. Ha! Huh? Oh, I saw the pictures the other day. I said, man, Jesse, you were good looking. I had abs. I could have done the ab roller commercial. I had them muscles. Now I got this piece over here, this piece here, and I don't know what all this stuff is. Don't laugh. I seen some of you ladies just shouting like that, and the bottom of your arm was a flapping in the breeze. It just going this way and that way, just like this stuff. Bless God. But the Bible said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells or habitates, quickens, makes alive our mortal body. Kathy would look at me. She'd go, whoo, just take her breath away. I was 19 years old. Son of my God. Kathy would just follow me. Whoo, don't take your shirt off, Jesse, because you got too much muscles. She tells me now, keep your shirt on, boy. We don't want people vomiting all over this beachhead here. I said, okay. I found out something. As you grow older, your belly button gets deeper. That day I took a shower and leaned over and water fell out my stomach. I didn't know what that said. My God, son, what is this? I said, Lord, we need a quickening. I don't know what Mac Gober's laughing for. I tell you what, there ain't no water hit Mac's feet. I think Mac got that whoa out there, bless God. He always got dry shoes. He just keep it. I give Mac hard. He said, I'm going to kill you tomorrow. I just thought you'd done it. Well, if Jesus is our rest and Jesus is our peace and Jesus is our quickening, that's a pretty good future, isn't it? Pretty good future. Yeah. Quickening. Quickening. He is our life. He is that very life that he has is in us, which quickens or makes alive. Well, if he's our rest, our peace, our quickening, then he's our healing. He is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to be healed. Sister Kohler gave us a tape. We was on a motorcycle trip. It just really ministered to me. We were riding all over Colorado in July of this year and having a really wonderful time. And she said, Jesse, you got to listen to this tape. And I believe that brother was named Bobby Andean. I believe that was him. Oh, my God, man, this was phenomenal stuff. And he was talking about blessings and miracles. He said, miracles are temporary and blessings are forever. Ooh, Lord God. He said, miracles, you know, you need one every day. But if you live in the blessings of God, it's from generation to generation to generation. I mean, I was riding that motorcycle and I was enjoying it. I said, bless God, man. Because that's the truth. You know, I went to a Benny Hinn meeting one time. And I was just going just to see people get healed. I love it when people get healed. And all the skeptics say, I bet they wasn't sick. Well, they sure act like they was. I mean, you see kids getting on the wheelchair. If that don't touch your heart, you got a cold stone heart. I mean, and so I was just so excited watching God heal these people. So I'm just standing there going, woo, God, man, hallelujah. And the Lord said, Jesse. I said, what? I'm watching the healings here. What? He said, isn't it wonderful? I said, it's wonderful. He said, isn't it wonderful you don't have to get in the line? I said, what? He said, isn't it wonderful you don't have to get in the line? He said, see, you don't need a miracle for your body because you're walking in the blessings of health. Isn't it wonderful to be able to go see someone get a miracle? Isn't it wonderful for you to create a miracle for someone? Oh, man, that really ministered to me. I thought, praise God. Isn't it wonderful to go to a meeting and see God bless everybody financially, but you don't need to because you already got it? Isn't it better to have the money in the bank than to believe God for a miracle to get the money in the bank? Huh? Isn't it wonderful to tell everybody, we're going to be at the Eagle Mount Motorcycle Rally next year because the money's already in the bank, instead of saying, my God, we got to have a miracle to get here. See, blessings are better than miracles. I'm not against miracles. I believe in them. But I'm saying is, miracles, God works for you. Blessings, God works with you. That really ministered to me. Well, healing has been a part of my life. But then just last Friday, first time I probably in 15 years, got attacked severely by the devil. I'm telling you what, I have walked in health. Kathy was in London, England, and all they were going over there. I'm never by myself in my house. Never. I told this brother, Cope, never. But I came in, I said, man, I got time. I can do whatever I want to do. I can put my foot on that coffee table because Kathy's in London and she ain't going to know it. Don't have to make the bed when I get out. Bless God. Leave that joker messed up the whole week. Throw my clothes on the floor when I want to. We got this real shiny floor in our kitchen. I was throwing my underwear all the way across it. I was enjoying myself. I said, boy, Kathy, can't do that when she's there. I say, yes, dear. I just go with it. By myself. Man, I'm sitting there. It's Friday night, feeling good. I said, man, I'm hungry. What have you got in this house? So we don't, Kathy don't cook. We got pots and pans clean. We got china and crystal. You ought to see it. It's all you can do is see it. Beautiful stuff. I don't know how to open it up. So I'm thinking, they got any food in this house? Because we eat out for lunch and we eat out for dinner or supper. We call it supper down there, the dinner. So I said, well, I opened up the pantry, saw a can of Vienna sausage. I ain't eaten Vienna sausage in 10 years. I didn't know the can was 10 years old too. I had no idea. I said, Vienna sausage. Reach in there. You can tell this is when Vienna sausage was really, really healthy. And you pull it out and got all that jelly all over you, all that fat stuff. Yeah, I mean, this is called fat galore. I said, boy, look at this thing here. So I took the jelly off, boy. Slammed it, throwed it down there. Boom. Man, it was so slippery that the thing to chop it up wouldn't chop it up. You heard it. Boom. I said, whoa, we got to put something in there to catch it, you know. All that kind of stuff. So, I took me a Vienna sausage. And I ate, I went. You know, I didn't like this 10 years ago neither. I done forgot what this is. So I took the rest of it, throwed it away. But I only believe it must have been botulism. It's 10 years old, man. So, but I don't go to bed until early morning hours, 1, 2 o'clock. I'm a night person. So I said, Lord, I just thank you today. And the Lord said, you might want to pray a little longer. No, I think I'm going to go on to bed, Jesus. Man, I go to get in the bed, and the bed goes, woo. Now, we have a stained glass thing in my bathroom over Kathy's bathtub. It's a big stained glass looking, I don't know what it is. It's a stained glass. It's a stained glass, you know. I don't know what the thing is. What's the thing? It's a stained glass. Something. Yeah, it's pretty. I looked at it, and he went, woo. I thought, man, this is like LSD. What is this? I laid down in the bed. Whoa. I said, wait a minute, man. I checked my heartbeat. It was still there. Ooh. And I went, exhale. And I couldn't catch my breath. And the devil said, this is it, Jack. You're dying with Vienna sausage in your mouth. I heard it, man. So I figured if I'm going to die, I'm going to die with my good pajamas on. See, I got a pair of pajamas Cat been trying to throw away for 20 years. It don't have no more elastic. You got to hold it when you walk. How many of y'all got a pair of pajamas like that? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But Jody bought me some wonderful stuff for gift, man. I put on my pinstripe pajamas. Oh, I look good. I looked at the stripes and they were going, ooh. I couldn't breathe.
I said, now I'm going to pray. I can't breathe.
I just began to rebuke the devil. And I realized it was an attack of the devil. Not only attack of the food, but attack of the devil. You're by yourself. Kathy not here to agree with you. That dog you used to have, you killed him. He ain't here either. Never was like that. I mean, I couldn't lay down. I was just going almost to the point of passing out. Sweat broke out, man. Devil said, you're having a heart attack. I said, well, you know, a heart attack with me like this. Boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop. But I mean, it was going boom, boom. I said, that's a lot. I mean, I had to fight the devil all night long. And dawned on me, Jesus. He said, Jesse, I have healing in my wings. But you see, I hadn't prayed for healing in so long, almost forgot. Prayed for healing for everybody else. I hadn't prayed for healing in my body. I don't know how long. Years and years. So I laid hands on myself. Jesus. Heal. I had to get in between them gulps of air. And I began to breathe better. You know what I did? This is 3:00 in the morning. I said, I'll show you, devil. I had on them good pajamas. I walked out and ran a mile. I went down the street in my pajamas. I forgot the police were out there. They would wonder. They said, how you doing, Reverend? Man, we ain't never seen jogging shorts like that. I said, that's my new pajamas. Ooh, what am I doing out here? I shouldn't be in my pajamas. He said, we won't tell nobody, Reverend. I said, I'll tell the whole world next week. Don't worry about it. I ran. Now, if you're having a heart attack, it ain't gonna happen. You understand what I'm saying? And when I got back in, the Lord said, read the can. Read the can? He said, go look at that can. Now, you know, I thought it would have lasted long, but I guess after a while, something gonna rot. Man, I think it was about 10 years old. He said, next time you eat something, read it. Read about it first, Jesse. And don't eat anything in here. It's all old. I said, that's right, Lord. God, forgive me. He said, go to Houston's. Go out me. So the next day, son, I was at Houston's. I said, y'all having a Vienna sausage here? They said, no. I said, good. Thank you. Just want to know that. Healing came to my body. So if God gave me rest, peace, quickening, healing, he gave me enlightenment. Now, that's wonderful. He is the light of the world. So what am I? A light within him. That means everywhere I go, I chase away darkness. I don't bring darkness. I chase away darkness. Man asked me the other day, let me tell you about this preacher. I said, is he good? He said, well, no. I said, I don't want to hear it. He said, why? I said, because you're dragging darkness around. Put your light back on. He's in our enlightenment. He's the light of the world. So I get along with anybody, they'll get along with me. Bless God. One time I was sitting next to a priest on a plane. I'll never forget it, man. And we were fine. And this is the funniest thing. And this lady said, excuse me, Father, would you like to have a drink? And he went, oh, no, too close to the main office. We're about 35,000 feet high. They said, sir, would you like a drink? I said, no, thank you. I said, how you doing, Father? He said, I'm doing well. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister. Oh, you like me? I said, yes, sir. I'm like you. He said, well, should I call you Father? I said, you call me anything you want. My name's Jesse. What's your name? He said, my name's Corey. Father Corey. Yeah. I said, you know, I was christened a Catholic. He said, well, then you are a Catholic. I said, well, I hadn't been a Catholic. He said, it don't make no difference. You can't get out. That's what he told me. He said, once you've been Christian confirmed, I don't care if you change, go preach for other people. You're a Catholic boy. I said, okay. He said, well, tell me, you know, what do you preach? I said, Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, really? I said, let me tell you something, Father. And I could see him. I got through that mess. I could see him going, you know, little quick crosses. Just in case, you know. He said, you sound like you know Jesus personally. I said, I do. Do you know him personally? He said, well, I can't say I do. I can't say that. I said, would you like to be able to say you could? He said, well, yes. I said, well, let's bow your head and let's pray. He said, but we're in a plane. I said, God knows where we are. He said, yeah, but I said, well, haven't you prayed in front of people before church? He said, yeah, but I'm reading a book like this. I said, well, I'll read the book. I said, let's pray, Father. Come on. We're going to meet Jesus today. I could see tears swelling up in this man's eyes. And there were people, you know, looking, they come, you know, people are, when they're listening, but they don't want you to know they're listening. I said, now we're going to pray, Father. I said, the rest of you heathens back here that listen to this thing, you can pray this prayer with us too. That's not embarrassing to me. Why? Jesus is my enlightenment. Amen. He's my enlightenment. Well, if he gave me rest, peace, quickening, healing, enlightenment, he gave me freedom. Whom the Son had set free is free indeed. You will not make Jesse Duplantis guilty. I am a free man. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Not in Chris, but in Christ. The hope of glory. He gave me freedom. For the first time in my life, I could tell booze no. I didn't like to smoke small joints. I used to smoke them stogies. You know, I'm the biggest joint you ever. I mean, the fire coming off that thing about that long, son. If you're going to do it right. But God gave me freedom from them things. Set me free. Every day I begin to make Jesus my future. Then I thought after a while, you know, I thought when you were saved, you couldn't ride motorcycles. I had the biggest shock of my life, the first motorcycle rally I ever preached. I met Kenneth Copeland personally at a motorcycle rally. This is where we got together at a motorcycle rally. I had never been to a motorcycle rally. Well, not a Christian motorcycle rally. Gone, I've been to, they ain't got too much clothes on, you know, and there's a lot of trash going on. I went to a Christian motorcycle rally. He said, hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. I said, hello, I'm Jesse Duplantis. So we walked out there. I'll never forget, this woman may be here. She weighed about 260. I think she shaved too, tell you the truth. She grabbed me and picked me up. Love you, little man. I said, put me down, mama. Just put me down here for a minute. And her skin was a scratching my face. I said, I bet she using a real cool shaver there or something. But she had the love of God in her life. It shocked me. You mean to tell me you can ride motorcycles and be saved? Sure you can. You can ride a horse. You can be, you know. You can be saved. And I told people about this motorcycle ride. You mean to tell me they got saved? I said, they didn't get saved. They are saved. Not many people get saved. I said, but a lot of them are saved. Yeah, but they're still riding motorcycles. Well, so? You'd be surprised how many people think you can't be saved. And ride a Harley. You only can be saved and ride a Honda, you know. For some people. But if you a Harley, then, oh, no, man. Them Harley people wear rags on their head. Well, Harleys are hot. Catches the sweat. We drove and stopped. Kenneth, he keyed up on the motorcycle. He said, Jesse, we're going to pull over this little stand. I said, okay, this is on a motorcycle trip this year. So we pulled in there, bless God, and man, we was getting us something to drink, and I pulled, I don't know what I had on. I think I had, anyway, these people came out, and Brother Copeland had that Harley Davidson rag on his head, tied back, bless God, looked bad, you know. And, you know, and Kenneth, he walked like that when he ride that motorcycle, you know. Son, I'm right behind him. I'm with him. Son, I won't look like Brother Copeland, bless God. So there's two people. These two people come, they're talking to us. They don't even recognize us. Finally, guy says, he saw my white hair. This white hair, for some reason, really ties me into people. You Jesse Duplantis, aren't you? I said, yeah, bless God, how you doing? And I said, I'm about ready to say, this is Kendall. Come, Kendall, stand right there, you know. And they look at Kendall going, how you doing? And they just talk. I am Brother Copeland just standing there. He got that rag on his head. You can see him like, don't mess with me, man. I mean, he looked good, boy. I mean, he had that Harley look on it. And just looking like that. Finally, since the glory name came, he said, that's Gloria Copeland. I said, well, that's Kenneth Copeland right there. Oh, my God, Brother Copeland. It was a wonderful thing. It was a blessing. Kenneth never took that rag off his head. How you doing? I mean, you know,
And now, you know, some people say, now, preachers ought not wear that. Why not? It's better. You can't ride the thing in a suit. I mean, your tie would be slapping you in the face. That's why motorcycles mean freedom. So, my God, if you're saved, that's true freedom then. So if he gives you rest, peace, quickening, healing, enlightenment, freedom, then he gives you strength. The Bible said all power is given unto him. Well, if all power is given unto him, then all power is given unto me. I have the strength of God. Now, I don't care whether people believe that or not. I do. Why? I've made Jesus my future. We would see Jesus. Well, bless God. You want a representative? If you want people to see Jesus, you must have rest, peace, quickening, healing, enlightenment, freedom, and strength. And then from that comes fullness. In him is all fullness. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Out of fullness comes gladness. We are partakers of his joy. Yeah, but I thought if you're saved that you're miserable. Well, that's for people that serve Chris. People that serve Christ are not miserable. You understand? Christ is that religion. Christ is this person. So you have that gladness in your life. You mean to tell me you can be happy and saved? Yeah. You mean you can enjoy your life? Yeah. What do y'all do? We don't sin. We'd have a lot of fun. Now, sometimes, you know, you can be tempted. Last year I was driving my motorcycle and I was doing so good. An 18-wheeler decided to come over in my lane without asking me. He come over. When he did, there's no shoulder. So I pull that bike on that little white line. Now I'm pulling a trailer behind me. And I look at my rear view mirror and I got that white line that tied that trailer on the other side of that white line. In other words, here's the dirt and that motorcycle trailer tire is riding right there. My motorcycle front tire is right here. We're doing 70 miles an hour. I could touch this 18-wheeler. I didn't feel like praising God. I could feel the wind. Woo, woo. I had to hold that bike. Don't mark up, because if that trailer goes up, whoop, it could flip me. I was holding that bike. So I slowly slowing down. Now, I thought a lot of words. I ain't going to lie. I thought some phenomenal words. But I didn't say one of them. I just held it. And I thought, what am I going to do? Hit the 18-wheeler? That's stupid. I could touch that trailer and them tire. I mean, I'm not like Ben Priest. He go to sleep by the sound of the tire. Gets too close, that means move over to the left. He's sleeping on his bike. Yeah, I don't do that. My eyes are open. One day I might be able to ride a bike like Ben. Well, the guy finally passed me. I didn't say one word. This woman drove right by me, and the words I thought of, she was saying. She pulled up next to that 18-wheeler, and she just let him, she just gave him an earful. I drove by and said, that's the truth. I just kept on going. I didn't say nothing. It was the truth. Now, why did he want to do that? Well, it wasn't his fault. Just didn't see me. Now, did you want to speak those words? Well, sure. This flesh is not saved. This flesh, your flesh is not saved. Your flesh has to be crucified daily. You got to watch your flesh. It'll boogie on you in a second, man. You can come out of a Holy Ghost meeting, see some foxy mama, and you go, Cheggy, mama, how you doing? Talk to me. Get down with your bad self. Ooh, wait a minute, you devil. Come out, you lying, demon, lustful spirit. That's right. I shocked a Christ for the Nation student one time so bad. Picked me up at the Love Field years ago. They used to have a big old beer sign out there on, I don't know if that's 35, where this waterfall was coming out of this sign. I don't know what kind of beer it was. And I mean, I hadn't drank in years. Man, this kid looking at me, oh, brother, I'm so glad. Is there anything I can do for you? I said, oh, no, son. Just take me to Christ for the Nation. Oh, man, it's such an honor. Such an honor. Such an honor. I said, no, it ain't. It's just me. Okay, Reverend. I said, no, just call me Jesse. Be fine. Oh, I'll tell you what, anything I can do for you? No, yeah, everything's fine. Just keep your eyes on the road. Bless God. I'll be all right. I was holding on to that door because this kid's going, boy. And as we drove on 35, I don't even know if it's still out there or not. And this waterfall would come out of this sign. And it was a beer sign. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that thing? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, when I seen that, my flesh, I hadn't drank since 1974. This was 1989. I looked at that sign and my flesh went.
I realized it. I've made Jesus my future, not that beer. And I hollered, I bind you, you devil in hell. The kid went, slammed the brakes on like the killers on the interstate. Got out and said, oh, Brother Jesse, what did I do? God forgive me. God forgive me. I said, fool, get inside the car. I ain't rebuking you. I said, you're going to kill us out here, man. Get in the car. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Jesse. You ain't done nothing. What's the problem? I said, nothing's the problem. But I had to rebuke my flesh. Don't act like you ain't never done nothing like that. Person the other day smarted off at me for no apparent reason. I'm a nice man. I'm a courteous man. I try to be polite. Went into this store and this person just popped off. I don't like that. And I said, what? What? They said, would you like me to say it again? I said, yeah, I'd like you to say it again. Here come that Tabasco. I could feel it coming up my legs. Son, my abdominals were going, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. I said, you know, you ain't got to talk like it. Who do you think you are? This person said, what? He started to walk. I said, don't walk off. Don't just turn your back on me. I'm telling you something. And I heard somebody say, hello, Brother Jesse. I went, Jesus is Lord. It's embarrassing. I think that confused the man more than anything else. I said, Lord. Well, why did I resist that? He gave me rest, peace, quickening, healing, enlightenment, freedom, strength, fullness, gladness. But he gave me something of all these 10, this last one, the one I love the best. He gave me companionship. He said, lo, I am with you always. Now that helped me. The Lord was standing right there when I was going to give that person a piece of my mind. You know, I hadn't had a fight in a long time. I used to fight all the time. I mean, when you're little and short, you got to fight. Ask Jerry. You got to fight. You know what I'm talking about. I had to fight all the time. Just because he's short, you know. Hey, nobody going to push you. What? You want to push me? I got a knife this long, Jack. You know what I mean? You know, you got to fight all the time. I ain't had a fight in a long time. That's why when I watch boxing, I stand up. If Kathy's there, come on, come on. She said, I don't want you watching them boxing matches. You hit me all the time. Well, I can win. I ain't stupid. I watched the boxing match with Jerry once. Jerry, the funniest man. Jerry was looking at him. I could see him, boy. He done forgot we all in the room. And that guy hit that guy, and Jerry jumped over the coffee table. Yeah! He's excited. I thought he was going to go boop, 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 boop up against that TV. You know how they do all that stuff. He said, excuse me, Jesse, I get excited. I said, I understand. I understand. When I first saw Rocky, I found myself. The Rocky movie, I was standing up in the seat. Hit him! Hit him! And I heard people say, that's that preacher on television over there. I went, what's that thing? It's a sport that I like. People say you shouldn't like boxing. It's violent. Only for the guy that's getting beat up. If you're the guy winning, it ain't too bad. Companionship. Lo, I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world. So there's some things I like, you know. I get excited about it. You know. Man, but I'm pretty, my wife's the one that can really get in somebody's face. Son, you know, when you ride a motorcycle, you motorcycle guys know what I'm talking about, ladies. Sometimes you stop at a hotel, they don't want you to stay there. You know, you got a little road smell on you because, you know, tar and whatever. Me and Kathy walked in, it's 104 degrees in Wichita Falls, Texas. We were coming from Raton. We stopped in Wichita for 104. We don't want to ride no more. I mean, my tires are turning to fluid. You know, it's hot. So we pulled in there. Boy, Kathy pulled that helmet off. She said, I said, it's hot. Want her hair stuck to her head? I said, Mama, I said, look, I'm watching. Kenneth showed me these kind of things. I said, this asphalt's a little soft here. I'm going to have to find me a place so it don't, you know, so I can put that bike down. So, you know, it don't lean over on you. Get my piece of wood out. She said, well, I'll check us in. I said, okay. Son, I got that bike in there. I come walking in, there's Kathy. Now, I can tell when Kathy is miffed. She just looks at me like that with that eyebrow up. I went, whoa, hey, Jesus. Whoa, son, I'm looking around. Who is she going to hit in here in a second? She got that one eyebrow up. Looked like Bela Lugosi, you know. She got that eyebrow up, son. I thought, uh-oh. I said, what's the matter? She said, they don't want to give us a room. They want a copy of my driver's license. I said, give them a copy of driver's license. What for? I said, did you pay them? Give them the money? Yeah, we paid them cash. We want a copy. Like as if we're going to steal something out the room. You know, because they saw us ride up on a motorcycle. I don't know the name of that hotel now. And ask Kathy, like, why do you want a copy of my driver's license? I said, Kathy, just let them get a copy of driver's. What for? I said, hey, forget what I just said. I ain't said nothing. I said, the woman don't want to give a copy of her driver. She said, why you have to give a copy? Why do I have to do that? She said, well, if you want the room, that's what you got to do. Cat says, I ain't got to do nothing. I'm going to tell you something. She's mad because she's hot on that motorcycle. Well, we finally got the room. She looked at me. She said, bring the bags in. I said, yes, dear. I'm bringing bags in, son. I just carry them in there. Boy, she didn't know she got in the elevator. And I came back. I said, I want to tell y'all something. You seen that eyebrow go up? If the other one would have gone up, that's the last thing you'd have ever saw in your life. I said, we're getting out of town at 4:00 in the morning. I want to let y'all know. I said, my God. I said, you're being prejudiced against motorcycle riders. But it does happen. But that kind of follows things like that. Standing in line. It is the funniest thing, man. Me and Brother Copeland, we are such obedient servants. We are glory and Catholic. You know what me and Brother Copeland did? We stopped with these two young ladies. They want to go see all these little, it's like not a fair, where they got like this, like boots and things like that with all kinds of stuff. I'll tell you what. Gloria and Kathy took off and they start looking at all these little boots, you know, like you're going down the food, but they got all different kinds of stuff. So here me and Brother Copeland, we just follow them. They stop, we stop. God is my witness, we stop. They went through everything in one place and me and Ken just looking. Yeah. So they said, Ken, I think we're going to go over here. Okay, we'll go with you. Kathy said, we'll go over there. So we went. We didn't see nothing we wanted to see. It just wasn't a man thing. But there was one booth that we saw, Brother Copeland saw, and I saw. It was some paintings of some Indian decor and things of that nature. And it was very interesting. Now watch this. So Brother Copeland says, I think I'll go over here. I said, yeah, let's go look at that. Now, we followed them all over that field. Every one of them. We sat, we waited. And so I thought they are going to follow us. So we started walking. They followed. We not in that little booth. We ain't in there 6 seconds. Gloria says, Kathy, y'all meet. We're going to meet y'all over here in about 30 minutes, okay? I said to myself, we followed y'all all over the place. But the minute they left, we lost interest in it. Well, if they don't want to look at it, we don't want to look at it. We're just going to And I found out that women do that in malls. Men follow their wives all over the mall. Stand there, wait for them. They try to dress them. You're like, yeah, yeah. Go to the next one. I see men, they just follow them. Now, but when a man want to see something, the woman should follow him. No, she says, look, I'm going to meet you in front of Dillard's in 42 minutes. I'll see you then, okay? Boom, no. That ain't right. Come on, men, help me out here. It ain't right. Thank you. But thank God I wasn't alone. You thought I was off this message. Jesus was with me. What do you think of those benches in those malls are for? You ever seen a woman sitting in them? That's for men to sit down. Get some popcorn, enjoy yourself. Your wife will come by in another 40 minutes. I'll say this in close. Christ must be the beginning, middle, and end of the church's message. What does Christ mean? Burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God, the anointed one in his anointing. How do you make Jesus your future? Well, you got to know what he said. And if you know what he said, then he'll become your future. Not only, you should know more than what he stood for. You should know what he said. You should know what he preached. See, for years I read the Bible and found out what Jesus said. But Brother Copeland came out with a sermon a couple of years back and told me what Jesus preached. The Beatitudes is what he said. But what Jesus preached was the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To the poor. Now, what's good news to a poor man? Ain't going to be poor no more. Right? The gospel means good news. Then it dawned on me. The Bible was given to us to tell us what Jesus said. But we need to know what he preached. And we know he preached what he said, but there was things that he preached that his main basis of his whole life was on the anointed one and on the anointing message. Because Jesus Christ. Now, Paul understood it completely because Paul in his epistles said Christ Jesus, which means his message and his person. What has happened centuries back is we only preach the person of Jesus, but we never preach the message of Jesus. So consequently, how can we make Jesus our future if we don't know what he preached? If we only know what he said. And if we know, and thank God we know who he was, which was the Son of God, but we need to know what proceeded from him when he preached. The Bible says he went all around towns teaching and preaching, teaching, explaining that to the apostles, the disciples, preaching, proclaiming to the people. I got to know what he said. Because if I know what he said and I know what he preached, then I can make him my future. So when the devil says something against him to me, since I know what he said and I know what he preached, I can counteract any problem or anything Satan says. Now you people that are in the prisons today, you listen to me. You may be behind bars. The world don't care about you. It's a fact. They don't care. You know it and I know it. But Jesus cares. I'll be honest with you, religion don't care about much or nothing either. But to know Jesus, when you understand him personally, he'll go to jail with you. He'll get in there, he'll spend the same time in that prison cell as you are. Why? Because he's a companion. Lo, I'm with you always. If you accept Jesus tonight, you're watching all over these prisons, I'm telling you, the Lord will get in that cell with you and stay there till you get out. He will not leave you there by yourself. When I got saved, God had to walk with me daily and still walking with me daily to help me. He said, I'm with you. You know, like the Italians say, I'm with you, man. You know, I'm with you. He's there. If I go on vacation, he goes on vacation. Brother, when that devil was attacking my body, the Lord was in that room. He ain't gonna leave me alone. That was one of the most comforting things in my life. That actually the Lord would follow me, work with me, be with me. He said, but Jesse, would you make me your future? Your life depends on it and many, many others. That's why I live a clean life. I will not desecrate the wonderful people that have gone before me that's preached this gospel. And I'm not going to be a reflection on Jesus. I want to be a reflection of Jesus. So, don't give me all these excuses. I don't know why I did what I did. You know exactly why you did what you did. The other day a person said, prosperity destroyed me. I said, no, it didn't. Prosperity destroys a fool. Prosperity is in that Bible, brother. It is a doctrinal, theological, homiletical, hermeneutical power of God's word. It's in there. He said, well, but prosperity destroyed me. I said, no, lust of the flesh destroyed you. That's what destroyed you. Money didn't destroy you. The love of money destroyed you. You're blaming prosperity when you ought to blame, bless God, your own inability to tell your flesh to shut up. You're gonna blame some doctrine that's wonderful that God placed in the body of Christ, and you think that caused you your problem. Come here. That didn't cause you your problem, bless God. Lust is that woman you found caused you that problem. And it wasn't her fault. Both of you take two to tangle. Come on, man. Get to the truth of the matter. Got sin out of your life. You got sin out of your life. You can have all the prosperity in the world you want. Why? Because God give you the ability to make wealth to establish that covenant across the world. You're not just thinking of things to buy. You're taking that gospel and that money and preaching it all over. You know how much money it takes to set up satellites in prisons, to set up all this, to go all over the world? My God, if people were greedy, why do it? Just keep it. so you can get saved that are watching. So you that are on Channel 29 all over the Dallas Metroplex can get saved and see somebody that's doing something, bless God, that's real and that's preaching the gospel and telling you that you can be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, making Jesus your future. That's what we're trying to do. Yes. That's the reason for it. It's the reason for finance. Not a toy, but a tool. You understand? Takes lights. I don't know how much electricity is being burnt. More than you make in a month. You understand what I'm saying? Why? It's an investment in your life so Jesus can become your future. Oh, glory to God. Wasn't that a blessing to the Lord? So when you think of it as this, you don't say this anymore. We would see Jesus. That's no longer said in this generation. We now say, we shall see Jesus coming in the air, glory to God, coming to get his body. We don't say we would see Jesus. We say we shall see Jesus. Yes. Amen. Some people say, you actually think you're going to see him? You better know I am. And I believe he's coming in my lifetime. Yes. Now, if I keep eating Vienna sausage, he may not, so I quit that. We shall see Jesus. I haven't seen a ministry that's doing something for God. They ain't building something, running, doing everything they know to do. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you're living in the last days. If you don't believe me, just put on CNN. See what's happening over there in that nation of Israel. See what's happening at that time clock called the Middle East. See what's going on. See what's happening today. That we're willing to actually cause a baby to be partially born, then suck their brains out their head. Ladies and gentlemen, that's worse than the Holocaust. That's worse than Joseph Mengele, the guy that cut kids up and destroyed people. This Nazi killer. My Lord, ladies and gentlemen, you want a sign that Jesus is coming? Every time they were killing babies, God sent a deliverer. Let me tell you something, man. That Pharaoh began to kill babies, God sent Moses. Herod began to kill babies, God sent Jesus. The United States of America is killing babies again. Let me give you an announcement. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. It's a sign. He's coming back. If you don't protect children, he will. You know, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening? Just look around us. Look what's happening. We're depleting every resource of this planet. Jesus has got to come. And I believe he's coming in my lifetime. If he doesn't, that's okay. I'm still going where he's going. I guarantee you, if he doesn't come in my lifetime, I'm coming back with him here. He'll be on a white horse and I'll be on another little one. I'll be right behind him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Making Jesus my future. Now, I could have went from scripture to scripture. I got a million scriptures. That's an overstatement. But a bunch of scriptures for each one of these things. But I think you need to go through that Bible and quit looking for scraps. That's right. And sit down and have a full meal of the Word of God. Amen. Growing up, I was taught to clean my plate. Anybody was taught to clean your plate? That's why we all so fat. You know what I mean? Don't leave no food on that plate, son. How many of y'all were taught that as kids growing up? Because food costs money and all that kind of stuff. Of course, mama weighed 300 pounds, you know. I said, took a 2x6 to hold her up when she walked on the floor. I said, that costs money too, mama. Shut up, boy. If you ain't had a fat mama, you are missing something. My mama was a fat mama. Mama could stop walking. Things were still moving. Mama was something, boy. But a prayer warrior. But she did tell me this. She said, I won't see the return of Jesus, but I believe you will, Jesse. I said, why not, Mama? She said, tell you the truth, I'm a little, well, selfish. I don't want to. I want to get there as quick as I can. You bring up the rear. Mama went home to be with the Lord in 1982. She's up there today, bless God. And I don't doubt telling Jesus, bless Jesse. Bless Jesse. Bless Jesse. I heard that all my life. I'd walk past that prayer room. Bless Jesse. I know he's a heathen from hell, but bless him. I said she could have left that heathen part off, but that was the truth.
Help him, Jesus. He's a little heathen and he likes sin. I don't know why he does. Takes after his father, Lord, help him. But I can say this, Mama made Jesus her future. Let me tell you something. I'll close with this again. It's my last closing. I couldn't sin without God telling my mama. Mama had made Jesus so much her future that God would go tell her what I was doing, which aggravated the socks off of me. Ladies and gentlemen, I was 700 miles away from mama, and my mother lived in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was in Reynosa, Mexico. I was in Boys Town. Whatever prostitute you could think of. I was 20-something. I was a devil from hell. Me and my drummer in a nightclub with women dancing nude on the tables. We were going, yeah, yeah. Man, we were drinking, smoking dope. Woo! My mama found me in a ballroom in Reynosa, Mexico. Now, how would she even know the place that I was in?
Is there Justin Duplantis here? I said, see? Telephone call for me?
Who knows me?
I picked them, I said hello, and my mama said, I see you over there with them sluts. I see you with them sluts. I said, what? What? She said, the Lord showed me where you was, you heathen from hell, and God told me to tell you, get out of there. He'll burn that place. I said, okay, mama, see you later. Bye. I hung the phone up, bless God, told Jimmy, get out, get out. God's going to call fire down. Mama's going to burn us all. He went, whoa. We took off, man. Cross the border. We made a run for the border, and it wasn't Taco Bell, I'll tell you that much. Got back over that Sheraton Hotel in McAllen, Texas. I said, call her. I said, how did you know? You can't do nothing. I told God to tell me every dirty thing you do. I'm praying for you, boy. I said, Mama, I've never asked you to pray for me. And don't make no difference. You're too stupid to ask me to pray for you. I said, now listen, Mama, I don't want to start no argument, but don't you start an argument, son. I'll put my hand through this phone and slap your face. Didn't your mama ever tell you that? Son, I took the phone like this because I figured God would go, what? And then boom, pull that hand back out of that phone receiver or something. My friend Jimmy said, Say, Biz, is your mama a psychic, man? I said, no, man, God talks to, whoa, you mean God? I said, yeah, you mean God's telling her what we're doing now? I said, probably. He said, well, let's quit. I am not exaggerating anything. I am telling you the truth. I couldn't do nothing. Nothing. She made Jesus a future. She made it for mine, and boys were getting saved. I brought a girl to my mother's house one time. I didn't do that very often. I walked in. I thought she looked pretty good. She looked greasy looking, but she looked all right. You know, I brought her in there, and I said, Mama, she looked at her. She said, she looked like a Jezebel. Thank God this girl didn't know who Jezebel was. She said, who's Jezebel? I said, that's a very nice person we know that lived down the street down there. Very pretty lady. I said, what's the matter with you, Mama? I'll not have them sluts in my house. She liked the word slut for some reason or another. Oh, I brought Kathy over there. I said, I got to stop. I don't know how I brought Kathy. I said, I got to get something up. So Kathy walks in. She ain't never seen Kathy before in her life. She said, that's her. I said, what? She said, this is the woman you're going to marry. I said, Mama, come in. Ooh, I don't want to marry the girl. I just want to date her. Yet the Lord done told me, she's the girl. She's the girl. That's her. It's over with. I know who your wife's going to be. That's embarrassing. It was the truth. How could she do that? Made Jesus a future. The Lord was telling her everything I was doing. Everything. 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 Now, you can't lie to her when God's telling her everything.
I'd call her, say, hey, Mom, how you doing? Saw you last night. I said, yeah, what was I doing? She said, you was wearing a red and white striped shirt. I said, I was. What color pants was I wearing? You know, those days you wore colored pants and everything. Paisley shirts, you know, wild stuff. Say, hey, man, you know, that kind of stuff. Said, you had them white jeans on. I had that red and white striped shirt with them white jeans on. And you was lying to that girl over there that when you was drinking with her. I said, what's her name? She said, Linda. I said, you know her, don't you know her? How do you know her? She said, the Lord told me you'd lied to her and her name was Linda. And I asked the Lord to let me see you. And you hurt my feelings. I said, well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. She said, you didn't hurt my feelings by the girl. You hurt my feelings because you won't accept Jesus. I said, Mama, I'm just not into this God stuff. I said, you don't understand. She said, Jesse, if he wasn't real, how do I know all these things? I said, I don't know. I think you belong to the FBI. You might be a CIA agent. I don't know. You're a covert woman. I don't know how you know these things. But you do. Now, I don't want you to go to hell. So get saved. Bye. She figured, I'm going to work on Kathy. So she started working on Kathy, and Kathy got saved. And Kathy called her up and told her she got saved. She said, put that heathen on the phone. I was called a heathen since the day I was born. I said, yeah, Mom, what you want? We're going to get you. Yeah, we're going to get you. We're going to get you. I said, I understand that, Mama. What made her do that? Made Jesus her future. I'm telling you, am I telling the truth, Kathy? That woman never said nothing else but something about God constantly. Jesus was her future. Jesus, and Jesus was her future. Jesus was going to be the future of her children, future of her family. She got them all to the knowledge of God, every one of them, a bunch of heathen. We were some devil. You understand something, lady? We're Cajun people. We talk like that. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm a very educated man today. You know, I got a high school education. Praise God. Thought that was funny. Praise God. Oh, yeah, that's as high as you could get. High school, ain't nothing higher, huh? Man, she just, that's how she was. She just made up her mind that God's word worked. God's word worked. And she just believed it. It was a simple faith. Jerry likes that high school thing. That's high. It's higher than you. High school. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Had a ring. Got a ring. But I sold it when gold was $800 an ounce and melt that baby down. Praise God. Yeah. She made up her mind that this word would work. And she would believe it in the midst of when you should not believe it. But Jesus was a future. And on her deathbed, she told me, you preach this gospel. I said, I'm going to preach this. She saw me preach the gospel. I said, I'm going to preach this gospel. She said, with tenacity. You don't quit. I'll sneak out of heaven and slap you silly if you mess up. I said, okay, Mama. I wouldn't be surprised. God's never done that, but he would do that for my mom. I think he would. You preach this gospel. And you raised that. My daughter's here tonight. And you raised that girl right. I said, okay. Now, what does right mean? Gospel. So I used the same thing on Jody when Jody was dead. I said, you can't do nothing God gonna tell me. She goes, oh Lord, let's don't do nothing, man. That's God, you know. And she turned out real good, no problems. See? Because you see, that seed grew and will grow. That's right. If Jesus is your future. So instead of saying what the Greek says, we would see Jesus, let's say we shall see Jesus. Stand to your feet.